This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 117. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, Announcer Bot. Welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. And just as a reminder, we do have a Facebook fan page. Just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can also go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email, sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Finally, you can call the voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9-SFP.
So, Mark, what have you been reading in the news lately?
Well, there's been, of course, the big Comic-Con going on this weekend out in San Diego.
It seems like every year it gets more and more media and less comics.
Right. I mean, even when we went 2 years ago, it was getting pretty bad. And now, essentially, every sitcom shows up, reality shows. It's just, I think it's time for the promoters to decide which kind of con they want to be.
Right.
And just embrace that and not keep acting like this is a comic book show anymore.
Well, you know, it just seems like when Bones can go.
Right.
That it's not really comics.
Exactly.
The only tenuous connection between Bones and comics is that the lead actor was an angel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the entire connection. So, but a couple things actually comic book related did come out of the big event. We learned that Stan Lee is working with Boom Studios. Every year he seems to announce some big project that generally doesn't go anywhere. And this is this year's big project that probably won't go anywhere. They announced that A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Century, 1969, this is, I believe, the second of the four volumes they're supposedly going to put out, will be coming out next year. It's been at least a year, maybe more, since the first volume came out.
So what is this? Is this...
This is the League in different time frames.
Oh, okay.
And so we've seen one. The one I have is from, I don't remember, 1909 or something, 1919, something like that. And so now they're doing another one in 69. And as far as I remember, there hasn't been another one in between there, so they're definitely taking their time on this. There are a number of upcoming DC ongoing titles, some of which were announced at the show and some of which were announced actually the week before, which is kind of interesting, another point about whether Comic-Con is really a comic show anymore, because the big announcements for comic books, they were announcing a lot of stuff early because they knew it would get lost in the shuffle otherwise.
Right. It seems like more of the big announcements from the comic book companies that are coming out are regarding their movies or other properties.
Exactly.
So
there's Batman Incorporated, which is what Grant Morrison is going to switch over to when he leaves Batman and Robin. But Batman and Robin apparently will continue. Batman The Dark Knight, which gives you 1, 2, 3, 4 main Batman titles. Five. That's not including any of the Bat family.
Right.
There's Flash Speed Force, a second Flash title. They were going to be backups with Wally West in the main Flash title. Apparently they've abandoned that idea. I think they're moving away from the backups.
Well, now that people are used to paying $4 an
exactly.
issue.
Exactly.
Now we can put out another comic and get $8 an issue from them.
Exactly. A new ongoing Superboy comic and a new ongoing Batwoman comic. So I decided it's probably time to trim the pull list because we need to make some room for some of this stuff. There's going to be a Jimmy Olsen co-feature in one of the Superman titles. It wasn't clear which one, but the more important point here is that Chloe Sullivan from Smallville, that character is going to join the DCU in that title. And they were going to do something with that character a couple years ago, and it got abandoned. So,
well, and it may be abandoned again. You
true,
never know.
True. Some non-DC stuff. CrossGen Comics will be returning via Marvel Comics in 2011. Now, CrossGen was pretty much up-and-comer in the late 90s, and they were one of the first ones that really embraced digital comics, long before anybody else did. Of course, it was all on the web then. It made it sound like it would be a separate imprint and not part of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, well, there were some really interesting CrossGen stories. Mm-hmm. I read a few of them in trade format. They actually were really putting out the trades also.
Yeah, very, very early user of really pushing the trades. They got a number of high-profile artists and writers together to do them.
I was going to go back to DC for a minute.
Yeah.
I wanted to comment on the stories that we read about the DC characters being taken away from Vertigo, because mm-hmm. you didn't mention that.
No. Yeah, so apparently they've announced that if the Vertigo characters that started at DC are going to be pulled back to DC.
So that's things like Swamp Thing.
Apparently the Madame Xanadu character, that title's going to get killed, and they're going to move her back to DC proper.
And I imagine that anybody like the Black Orchid then, too,
right,
in the future wouldn't be Vertigo.
Right. So,
and that's kind of sad for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the rationale is for it. I was trying to figure it out last night, whether it's they want to maybe spin off Vertigo as a separate company. I mean, what would be the purpose of doing this? Maybe they wanted to get more interest over in DC proper. I don't know.
But then I also thought about how Death is going to be in the Action Comics.
Right. Yeah.
And how maybe that was like the first sign mm-hmm. they're going to move it over. And mm-hmm. maybe they're going to start incorporating some of those characters into main DC books again.
Could be. So one other note from Comic-Con. The Eisners were announced. I'm not going to go through who won. You can look that up online. But the important thing to us was that our comic book shop, Packed Rat Comics, was nominated as Spirit of Comics Retailer, but did not win, unfortunately.
Boo!
But, you know, you guys are still number one with us, and better luck next year.
Well, they should have won.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know the other stores that were nominated, but
I don't see how another store could do as well as these guys do.
Yes.
All right. So let's move on to the comics themselves. First, we have Brightest Day Roundup. Titles that came out. Brightest Day number 6. Now, Brightest Day seems to keep jumping around because there's so many characters involved, and it's hard to keep up, and it's not really making a lot of progress because they have to keep kind of spinning the plates, as it were, with all these various characters.
Yes, I agree.
So, a couple of things we did learn in number 6, that Mira was apparently, we always knew she came from some other dimension, or at least it's been known for many years that she came from this other dimension, but that she was apparently sent to kill Aquaman. She was a hired, not hired killer, but she was...
She was raised and trained to be
an assassin.
A killer, an assassin, and mainly to get rid of, not necessarily Aquaman, but the king of Atlantis.
We also saw McGann, that is Miss Martian, apparently dead or close to being dead, which is kind of confusing because she's also in JSA right now. And in JSA, we saw a potential relationship between Mr. America and Lightning.
Yes.
We saw McGann being somehow corrupted through this thing. She was kind of spying on Mikal, Starman.
Yes.
Was sent into the realm of the Starheart.
Yes.
And was trying to gain information, and she was just kind of listening in on what he was hearing and seeing, and she somehow got corrupted, and then she reverted to her white Martian form. We also saw an appearance by Grant Morrison's Mr. Miracle. So this is the one that came out of Seven Soldiers of Victory.
Right.
Or Seven Soldiers, the title that came out several years ago now, that tried to redo some of the characters. And so we're seeing his Mr. Miracle character. Meanwhile, in Birds of Prey, we see some effects of Penguin's delirium as he's been badly hurt, and he keeps kind of falling in and out of consciousness. And when he falls out of consciousness, he's having these dreams about the Birds of Prey. And it does seem that Ed Benes has gone back to his posterior shots that he's well known for in this. He kind of restrained himself initially, but now apparently it's... Let's go. The impossibly maneuvered shots where it's like, well, clearly that was just so you could draw some of the bird's posteriors. So the team pretty much seems to be screwed. Black Canary, everyone knows who she is now. Oracle has been kidnapped by two characters we thought were dead. And the rest of them are pretty much on the run from everybody.
Yes. So who knows what's going to happen there.
Then we have Batman Streets of Gotham. And this is starting the House of Hush storyline. And in this, we're seeing Hush's family, or in this case, his mother, her relationship with Thomas Wayne, and apparently also Zatara, which is really kind of screwing up the storyline, because that would kind of mean that the Waynes were around in the Golden Age.
Well,
because Zatara was around in the 1940s. So, not quite sure what's going on there. And we hear her referred to as Martha Kane.
I was wondering if you'd ever heard her maiden name before.
I not that I remember. Maybe it's been referenced before. But does that mean that Bruce and Kate Kane, Batwoman, are somehow distantly related?
Perhaps.
Which has never been indicated before. Then there's a Two-Face backup, which seems, frankly, more interesting than what's going on in the main title. And that seems to happen a lot. I think when these writers and artists are given this restriction and say, you have to finish this story or you have to move things along in a very small number of pages, that economy tends to force them to, I think, you know, make things more interesting, to move the plot along very quickly. So during this battle, Harvey's coin is nicked by a bullet, making one side, at least one side of the coin, unintelligible. And so now, can Harvey operate without the coin telling him what to do? Moving on to DCU Legacies.
And how long is this series going to be?
I thought it was only 6 issues. I may be wrong.
Okay. They're moving pretty rapidly through the history.
Yeah, exactly. So we're now getting into the dawn of the Silver Age. I thought it was a very interesting way to include the Western heroes, which is when DC, right before the Silver Age proper, DC had obviously moved away from superheroes. And so they did crime comics and they did a lot of Western comics, a lot because Westerns were hugely popular in the 1950s. And so they include the Western heroes as stars of the TV series of the various Westerns were on in the 50s.
Yes.
And those were all the DC Western heroes. And I like that. And we see John Jones being introduced with Paul, the main character that we're seeing everything through his eyes through all this, is his partner as a cop. And they see all these, like this rash of weird cases, which is, of course, how Martian Manhunter started, with all these weird cases, because he was really technically the first Silver Age hero, was Martian Manhunter. And we see appearances by the Blackhawks, the Challengers of the Unknown, the Sea Devils, Cave Carson, again, all these characters that were going on just as the Silver Age got started. And we see the Trinity's first appearances. And this brings up the question, then how does this fit in with what's going on in the Wonder Woman title? Because we see the traditional opening, you know, the first appearance of Wonder Woman. At least it's referenced in there. So it makes you think more and more than what JMS is doing, that Straczynski's doing over in the Wonder Woman title, is going to be very temporary indeed. Because we end up seeing in this title the JLA being formed with the classic lineup with Wonder Woman in.
Right.
And all the ones you saw in the Silver Age, which also throws into question a lot of the retcons that have occurred over the years. Because at one point, because Wonder Woman wasn't around at one point in the early days of the JLA, she didn't appear until a later point, that they said, oh, well, Black Canary was a founding member. And so they've gone back and forth. And so apparently now they're now going back to the original Silver Age, which is what DC's doing in general. They're really going back to the Silver Age roots. And then there's a backup story in there with the Challengers of the Unknown, the Sea Devils, and Cave Carson. So really enjoying this. It'll be interesting to see how they bring this to a conclusion over the next few issues. Finally, there's Welcome to Tranquility, One Foot in the Grave. And this is a mini-series coming out of the previous Welcome to Tranquility series. This is from Gail Simone. And it's a story about a superhero retirement community. You know, you got like Sun City and places where you see a lot of retirees move to. Well, this is a special area that the government has set up to say, well, this is where the superheroes will live once they've retired.
Well, and there are some villains there, too.
Exactly. And so this issue is mostly just reintroducing us to the characters. We really enjoyed the original series and looking forward to seeing the rest of this miniseries.
Yeah, it was good. And it was a nice little reintroduction, kind of, since it's been so long since the last one. But
right. All right, so before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready. Movie?
Yes.
A movie that was introduced at Comic-Con?
No.
No? Is it a movie that's already out?
Yes.
Did it just come out?
Yes.
Is it an action movie?
I would have to say yes.
Okay. It's not that Inception movie, is it?
It is.
Ah. And so it's DiCaprio.
It is.
Yeah.
Boy, that only took like 33 seconds.
Yeah, well. Well, what are you going to do?
It was everywhere this week.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I want to remind you about that Facebook fan page. Search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, or call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night.
Goodbye.